Now, turning your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29, just focusing our thoughts on some things. And tonight, my thought is to get us to ready to begin praying for our country this week. And just this matter of prayer and thinking about the fact that God's in control of things, in control of everything. And she said, then, is this on? Yeah, it's on. We'll look at the word, and then we'll spend the rest of the time in praying. Just pray as you feel led, and as it dies out, when it seems everybody's done praying, then I'll go ahead and close in prayer tonight. But here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we see David. And if you need to turn this one on, go ahead. David is nearing the end of his life and preparing to turn the crown over to his son Solomon. And in chapter, and they've made preparations for the building of the temple. And David's gathered everything together, the materials, the monies, the workmen, everything set. And basically, Solomon just has to give the word and set the work in progress. And we come down to verse 10 now. It says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." The recognition that it's God. It's all God's. He's in control of it. And David, well, I'm probably getting ahead of myself here. Let's read on. Both riches, verse 12, and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners. As were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. So as they got all this wealth accumulated, all this, these materials and all the things to build up this great temple in honor to God, David's saying, we're giving it to you, God, but it's only because you gave it to us first. And that we in turn can then give it back to you. Everything that we have is of God. This nation started out with that thought clearly in their minds. Our forefathers understood God's control of things. And as they set up our government, they understood that. And you can see that as you look at the Constitution and the other founding documents, that they recognized God's sovereignty over all of it. And we need to recognize that too. Look at Ezra chapter 9. And verse 8, Ezra 9 and verse 8. Obviously, many, many years later, after the return back to Jerusalem, after the Babylonian captivity, David is long gone, and all the throne of David is gone. There's no king reigning on that throne now. It's been 70 years of captivity, and now they come back. And Ezra writes this, "And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." I believe God gave us President Trump. You can question, certainly, as a person, there are some things lacking in him, as there are in all of us. But he was definitely a friend to Christians and to Israel. And he even had a respect for God. Whether he's saved or not, again, I don't know. Some say that he is. And I'm not questioning their integrity on that thing, but I don't know. But I believe he was God's man given to us for this period of grace. Maybe just for 4 years. Don't even know where that's going to go yet. But God's in control of all of it. And even what takes place from this day forward, from January the 20th and forward, God's in control of all of that. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And probably not going to look at much of anything this morning or this evening that's not familiar to you, but it applies. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. And that's the first and foremost, the thing that we need. We're pleading God for his mercy on us and on our nation, because we don't deserve anything from God. It's all from him, but we deserve none of it. What we deserve is his judgment. But he says, come boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God, in your mercy, if you would grant us 4 more years of President Trump. But whatever your will be, that we have grace to help in the time of need. And that grace might be greater depending on, that we need is needed depending upon the outcome of this whole mess. I believe God answers prayer. I think you all dare. I remember there was a program that always used to start out, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. I believe that. God is still on the throne. Regardless of who occupies the White House, God's on the throne. And prayer can change things. But here, this gets to really to the emphasis that I want to have in our prayer tonight. As we go on the rest of the week, there will be a specific emphasis each night. And I'm leaving it up to Ben as far as the nights that he takes, how he wants to deal with it, or the emphasis that he wants to put. But tonight, my thought is this. Prayer changes things. But the greatest thing that needs to be changed is our individual hearts. Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 34, verse 11. Psalm 34, 11. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil. Thy lips, they speak from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open under their cry. We have God's ear tonight. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. the righteous cry. So we need to be sure that we are the righteous that are crying. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. A prayer from brokenness tonight. To just be broken and humbled before God. Several of the hymns that we sang tonight had that thought in at least some of the verses or throughout there. The humble coming before God in humility. Begging for that mercy, realizing we don't deserve anything from Him. Psalm 126. Psalm 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We need to have that brokenness, folks. And I hope that we can attain that through this week and this time of praying for our nation. Humility, as we come boldly, but there's a brokenness and a humility that has to accompany that boldness as we come before God in prayer. Go to Revelation chapter 3, that the church that we went to on Sunday, the pastor was preaching out of this, and it just struck me as he was talking about the Philadelphian church, and of course that's probably one of the best of these seven churches in Revelation, the church of the open door. Looking at the church age, it seems to be from about 1500 to maybe the early 1900s. The time of great revival, starting with the Reformation around 1500. 1517 was when Luther posted the 95 Theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg. And the church at Philadelphia represents that time in church history. But he says this in verse 7, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, saith, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. So there's a key here that somebody has, that has this key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. It wasn't their strength, it was because they had little strength, it was what God gave to them, and primarily that God gave them an open door, an opportunity. And he says, the doors that God opens, nobody's going to shut them. I believe the last 4 years we've had an open door. The question is, what do we do with it? But as that pastor was preaching Sunday, I thought of this, relating it to our situation here. And he that shutteth, no man openeth. God's in control. God gave us President Trump. And if God is shutting that door now, there's nothing we can do about it. God gave us that grace for a little space. I hope it's not over, but it could be. And so as we're praying tonight and through this week, are we willing to accept God's will? Whatever it is. if he has shut the door. And we're to pray, we're to beg for that mercy, but also to ask for the grace to help in the time of need. The first change that's needed is for our hearts to be willing to accept whatever God's will is. Like Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But if not, not my will, but thine be done. We're told in 1 John chapter 5 that if any man ask anything according to his will, we know that we have the petitions which we ask. One more passage, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Samuel is coming to the end of his life. He's the last judge. Yeah, the book of Judges, where there are a number of them there, but Samuel is actually the last one of that line, raised up by God for a particular time. And we find here in verse 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, says this: Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. There was a problem there. The people saw it. And it says, Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Samuel has been their leader, their judge, not a king, but their judge, their spiritual leader, as well as their a political leader. And now as he's getting older, say, we want a king like everybody else. And watch this, verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. God, that's not what I want. We don't want Biden. We don't want to be like everybody else. And the Lord said unto Samuel, verse 7, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Not my will, but thine be done, Lord. I hear you, Samuel, but I'm not going to answer that one. Verse 8. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. I'm not answering your prayer, Solomon, or Samuel. Give them a king. But be sure to tell them what kind of a king it's going to be. And I see a parallel that could be very well where we're heading right now. And we need to be willing to accept what God's will is in this thing. And I do not know what it is. I hope what it is, but I don't know. But as we pray tonight, that getting our hearts broken, submissive to God, regardless of which direction God goes with this thing. And ask for grace to help in that time of need. Let's now go to prayer.